Welcome back to another edition of the Underdog Sports Podcast. We have another fan podcast today, guys. Joined with me is a special guest, Anthony Golic. How you doing, Anthony?
Doing great, man.
All right. Well, look, you told me, man. Why don't you tell the people what kind of day it is for you?
Yeah, man, it's my big 20th birthday today. I'm just feeling real blessed right now. And we're all going through hard times right now with the world and everything. But just a good day to sit and reflect on your family. And just going to focus on just having good.
Hey, man, that's all good stuff, dude. I mean, first off, congratulations to you. Happy birthday, dude. I hope you and your family are blessed. I don't know if you have a girlfriend or any kids, but if you do, if you don't, whatever the case may be, I hope you're blessed, man. I hope some good times are ahead of you, and your life's still young. So, man, you got a bright future, and I wish you all the best. So, getting into this, man, you know, you wanted to come on, want to talk some Colts football. First off, thank you for joining. And now, I guess, jumping into football, man. You know, some people seem to be really excited about this guy, Michael Pittman Jr., who just joined the Colts in the draft in April. And there's a lot of talk about him and T.Y. Hilton. You know, me personally, I really love the duo. We all know what T.Y. Hilton represents. We all know what he brings to the table. But then Michael Pittman, who's only had 5 drops in his 4-year USC career, where are you at with this duo at wide receiver and the depth and the potential this wide receiver group has to offer?
Personally, I am really high on Michael Pittman Jr. I was watching a lot of his film, and it personally looks like he's just like a taller, like Reggie Wayne, in my opinion. You know, just a guy who never drops balls. And really, like, we haven't really had like a really good option at his height before. And with the wide receiving core as a whole, I just think that our wide receiving core is this a really underrated wide receiving core in the NFL. Paris Campbell got hurt last year. T.Y. Hilton got hurt last year. It's like a lot of people in the NFL are like overlooking the Colts receiving core. But I think that Phillip Rivers is going to make this receiving core look very good. And I think that we're going to have a big year.
Yeah, man. Phillip Rivers coming in. We know he loves those big, tall wide receivers. When it comes to Michael Pittman, when you know, I was talking about my draft prospects heading into the draft, and I came down to 5 wide receivers out of all the wide receivers in this class, 5 wide receivers that I want the Colts to take. And I'm glad they took him. Michael Pittman was in that group of 5 that I had. And what you're getting in Michael Pittman is just, you know, he might draw comparisons of Michael Thomas. When I watched Michael Pittman, I thought of Michael Thomas. You know, a big body, sure hands. You know, he's not going to do anything, I guess you could say, fancy or crazy. But, man, he's just going to ball out and he's going to get it done. You know, I saw a little bit of Reggie Wayne when you're talking about route running and just for sure hands. I said it already. I'll say it again. He had 5 drops. Again, 5 drops, and I'm really excited about this guy. You know, going a little deeper into this wide receiving core, before we get into that, I'm actually going to talk about the duo of T.Y. and Michael. When you look at the duo of these guys, and I want your opinion on this, I look at T.Y. and Michael as such a lethal duo. You know, you got a speedster who can beat anyone any day, anywhere in the field. You want him to go under. You want to go across the middle. You want him to hit a corner route. You want him to beat the secondary. He's got it. Then you got Michael Pittman, who is a strong-bodied receiver. The best hands that, you know, he just has amazing hands, incredible hands. And then when you look at the, you know, the depth of this unit, they drafted a Desmond Patman, who I really like a lot, out of Washington State. Another big body guy, another, you know, player that Philip Rivers loves in those big body wide receivers. Paris Campbell, you touched on it. There was injuries, and then a guy who I'm actually high on in Zach Pascal, who has made a big jump from 2018 to 2019. Where are you at, Anthony? What do you see when you look at this depth in this wide receiver core? Do you see, you know, there's still work to be done, or do you see this group with the talent to be possibly the best wide receiver crew in the National Football League?
Honestly, I'm leaning more towards that. I think this group is quite possibly like a top five, top three wide receiving core in the NFL, or quite possibly the best if they all pan out and everybody stays healthy. Personally, Zach Pascal had a very good year last year, and he gets overlooked. And because of Paris Campbell getting hurt, he's really getting overlooked. And I think he's going to have a big year. And I'm very excited about Michael Pittman. He's just a big target who just doesn't drop balls. And that's something that really excites me. And I think a bunch of people are just overlooking the Colts receiving core right now.
Overlooking is something that Colts fans are very familiar with. You know, we're always overlooked. We're the Middle Eastern. I'm not Middle Eastern, but you're a team that's not a big media market. You're not the LA of the world. You're not the Dallas of the world. You're not those teams. And, you know, when it comes to talent, people don't really look Indianapolis's way. And, you know, since we're on it talking about talent, Colts added some big-time talent this offseason. You know, obviously the biggest one being DeForest Buckner. We traded the 13th overall pick to San Francisco, who was in a little bit of draft capital hell with all those trades they made. They gained our 13th pick. They got Javon Kinlaw. We received DeForest Buckner. DeForest Buckner is, I will say, he is the second best defensive tackle behind probably the best defensive tackle ever in Aaron Donald. He is right behind Aaron Donald, and what he brings to the table is spectacular. You know, another thing that he can help is the rest of the guys on the defensive line. You know, you saw Justin Houston get 10 sacks. Kamoko Touré comes back from injury. It'll be a big year for him. With Jabal Sheard gone, that opens up a spot for potentially Tyquan Lewis, because it's also a big year for him. People forget he's entering his third year. Ben Banigou, Kamoko Touré, even Al-Kadeem Muhammad. With the addition of DeForest Buckner, Anthony, how do you see and who do you see breaking out in the defensive line position?
Honestly, it's got to be Justin Houston, personally, or it's got to be a guy like Tyquan Lewis, because I feel like he's got something to prove, because, you know, he was a healthy scratch a few times last year. I'm like, we all know, like, types of years that Autry and them were having last year. So I think Tyquan Lewis is going to have a breakout year, because I know Buckner, he's going to draw a lot of attention on that line. He's a really good player, and he is the second best D tackle in football. So I really think it's going to be Tyquan Lewis or Justin Houston. So many people are not looking at Justin Houston too. He had a really good year last year. And I can't believe so many people, like, forget what he brings to the table. Like, he's just a really good player. So, like, I am just really hype about Tyquan Lewis, because I feel like he's got something to prove, or else he probably won't make it through training camp if he doesn't really improve. But honestly, I think he's destined for a big year because of the attention that Buckner is going to draw. I know it's not a popular pick, but I still have some faith in Tyquan Lewis.
Definitely, man. Definitely. I want that. You know, people are always going to talk about Kamoko Touré, and rightfully so. He's a great player. I'm a huge TCU fan, so obviously I'm going with my guy Ben Banigou. And Tyquan Lewis, that is an interesting player, because people forget he was a second-round pick, and second-round picks are pretty good. And injuries have kind of, slowed his development a little bit, but the spot left by Sheard is going to open up some plays. Obviously, he can play inside and out. So that's going to help him, the versatility he has in earning playing time. When I look at this defensive line, Justin Houston's getting older. He did show some good stuff in both the run and pass defense. DeForest Buckner is going to be big time. Grover Stewart is going to be good. I mean, he just keeps getting better, better. Keeps getting heavier. I mean, his weight just keeps going up. His strength is just top notch. I mean, I know nose tackle isn't the most glamorous position, but Grover Stewart really showed me something this year. I kept talking about, oh, maybe Nico Autry's going to start or Sheldon Day. Grover Stewart is who I think can possibly benefit the best from this. I know he's the nose tackle, but if you look at his numbers, I mean, it's just crazy. I believe he had four sacks from the nose tackle position. That's pretty good. Four sacks. He was great in the run defense. Obviously, you're going to still look at Justin Houston. So you probably got two guys on DeForest Buckner and Justin Houston alone. Then you got a speedster in Kamoko Touré. Grover Stewart. I mean, I didn't know who he was when we drafted him in 2017 out of Albany, I believe. So that's where I'm at with the defensive line. Anthony, I want to get you going here here a little bit. What was your absolute favorite pickup, whether it be free agency, the draft, or undrafted free agent? What was your favorite pickup and why?
Okay, I'll give you two of them here. First, I'll probably go with Buckner. He's just a big time player, and it was a lot to give up the 13th pick, but I don't think there's going to be a rookie to come in and just do what he does like right off the bat. And secondly, undrafted, I'm a big Syracuse guy in all sports, so I'm a big fan of this kid Coleman that we picked up undrafted. I think he brings great value. So if he makes this roster, I feel like he could come in and be like a rotational guy, just like Ben Bannegut was last year. He can come in and just give you some good snaps, and you didn't even have to draft him. He's a free agent. So I'm just a big fan of those two players.
Awesome. Well, when did you first become a Colts fan?
I was always a Colts fan growing up. I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania, and a lot of Colts fans remember the name Bob Sanders, and he was always like my favorite player growing up, because he came out of my city here, and there's not too many like NFL players that come out of Erie, Pennsylvania here. So he was just my favorite player growing up, and I was like, huh, like he plays for the Colts, like I'm gonna be a Colts fan. And then I just got attached to Peyton Manning, and then it's crazy, I ended up going to the same prep school that Bob Sanders did, and he's just been like a role model for me growing up. I love watching him on the Colts.
Man, Bob Sanders was just a monster, an absolute monster on the field. It's actually pretty interesting, man, because, becoming a Colts fan, you can either just grow up watching them, or like me, you can just get home from school one day, you want to bother your big brother, he ends up watching SportsCenter, and you say, "Who's that?" He says Peyton Manning, and then boom, you're hooked for life. Like, that's literally how it happened with me, man. Getting into a little bit more football here with you, Anthony. How do you look at the secondary? There's some questions there. We don't know what Xavier Rhodes has to offer yet. We know he's been battling a hip. His production's kind of, fallen off here lately. You add Julian Blackman. Malik Hooker's fifth-year option is declined. Pierre Desir is released. We've made additions, signing TJ Carey. Where are you at with the secondary? Do you think, it has a good year, or do you think they probably struggle in 2020?
Honestly, I think that the secondary this year is ready. Last year, we had a lot of young pieces. We had Rock Ya-Sin in there. We had Kari Willis in there. We had Marvell Tell. But I feel like they all each got like a year under their belts, and they're all gonna be ready for this year. And Xavier Rhodes, you know, I love that signing because I know like he didn't expect to get released by the Minnesota Vikings, and so he's definitely got some stuff to prove, and I think that he's gonna have a big year. Same with TJ Carey. Yeah, I feel like he's just gonna come in and be a good rotational piece. So I'm actually like a big believer in our secondary this year.
Where are you at with Phillip Rivers? You know, maybe not even Phillip Rivers, but in the quarterback room. You got, you know, for some reason, he seems to be a fan favorite, Chad Kelly. You drafted Jacob Eason, who had the best arm in the draft. Jacoby Brissett, he's our guy. And then you go out and sign Phillip Rivers. Where do you see, you know, these guys playing? You know, do they play at all this season? Who starts? You know, maybe who can get traded? You know, where are you at with that in the quarterback room?
Personally, I think that Rivers is gonna have a big year. I mean, his offensive line last year wasn't great, so he's gonna have time to sit and find his receivers this year. Personally, I think they'll probably keep Jacoby. You know, if something happens to Rivers, if he gets hurt or if he's not playing well, you can just slide in Jacoby. I was a big fan of Jacoby last year. I know a lot of Colts fans, they wanted Chad Kelly in there. I wasn't personally too high on Chad Kelly because he was only playing well in preseason, so he still has some left to prove. But I think Chad Kelly will probably end up on the practice squad. Eason will probably be the third string, and we'll keep Jacoby as our backup. But I think personally, Rivers will play. If he plays well this year, I think he'll play another year next year, and then I think it'll be go time for Eason.
Oh, big time, man. Big time. Moving on to the tight end room here. You know, Jack Doyle, he's pretty good. He's big time. He's probably Mr. Reliable. How do you know, we know what Jack Doyle is. Mo Alie-Cox seems to be still be in developmental mode. Do you see him breaking out at all, or do you just see, you know, the Colts possibly moving on from him in the future?
Personally, I think they may move on from him only because Ballard went out and got Trey Burton. Personally, I thought it was going to be a big year before Mo Alie-Cox. I mean, Trey Burton got signed. Before Trey Burton got signed, I thought that Mo Alie-Cox was going to, you know, start to catch the ball more instead be more of a run blocker. I thought he was going to be more of a pass catcher. But Chris Ballard went out and got Trey Burton, which I was a huge fan of. And now I'm just a very good fan of this very big fan of this tight end room because Trey Burton, you know, he's big time. You know, he's not you know a guy that's gonna make a bunch of superstar plays, but Frank Reich said he's a great route runner. So I'm really excited about Trey Burton and this whole tight end room as a whole. I'm just a big fan of it. And Jack Doyle is big time. You know, a lot of Colts fans realize that, but then again, you got other people saying he's not even a top 10 tight end in the NFL, which I think is crazy. But you know, I'm just a big fan of our tight end room, and we may possibly move on from Mo Alie-Cox. You know, I'm a big basketball fan too, so I watched him a lot playing basketball for VCU, and you know, he's a really strong guy. We've seen him still playing with Andrew Luck. He made that big one-handed catch. So you know, if he has a good year, they might extend him. But you know, if he's not doing too well this year, then we'll probably move on from Mo Alie-Cox.
I gotta ask you about the running back position because it seems to be a little crowded. You got Marlon Mack. You just drafted Jonathan Taylor. You got Jordan Wilkins, and you got the who just became the do-it-all man in Nyheim Hines. Obviously, I see Nyheim Hines not taking any reps at running back anymore. Probably lining up at running back, you know, maybe coming out, doing some swing routes, obviously going to be doing punt and kick return, lining up in the slot. So we could probably take Nyheim, but you can talk about him if you'd like, Anthony. with the potential in this running back room, Marlon Mack is entering a contract year on his rookie year. Just drafted Jonathan Taylor, and you still have Jordan Wilkins. Where do you see, first off, what is the potential of Marlon Mack and Don Jonathan Taylor together? And then, where do you see the Colts going in terms of re-signing Mack or letting him walk?
Personally, you know, I think that this duo between Mack and Taylor, we're probably going to be, I'd say probably top three, or if not the best duo in the NFL. You know, a bunch of Colts fans were upset once we drafted Taylor, but I was very excited. You know, Frank Reich, he said last year we were seventh in the NFL in rushing, and he wants a top five run game this year. And I think that he made a big move to draft Taylor there to make us a top five team in the run game this year. And honestly, Marlon Mack, man. Like, I'm such a big fan of Marlon Mack, but you don't draft Jonathan Taylor in the second round just to, like, have him, you know, be part of a duo. I think in the future, he's going to be our main guy. So if we extend Marlon Mack, it'll be probably for, like, a 1 or 2 year deal. I look at our running game, like the 49ers last year. Like, you have two big running backs, like Mostert and Breida, but then as soon as Mostert broke out, you know, Breida got dealt to the Dolphins. So, if Taylor breaks out this year, I don't think basically we'll extend Mack. Maybe Mack will get traded, just like Matt Breida did. And honestly, I'm just a big fan of this duo. You know, if this is our year to make a big run, I think it's the year while we have Mack and Taylor on our roster.
Well, Anthony, this is like my final question for you. You know, a lot gets talked about Chris Ballard being a great talent evaluator. You know, he's drafted Malik Hooker, Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard. He's made some intriguing signings. He's just drafted some players. And one guy that just doesn't seem to get talked about is Anthony Walker. He was a seventh round linebacker out of Northwestern. At best, he would probably be thought of as a backup linebacker coming into the league. Year one, he's with Chuck Pagano and that awful 3-4 defense. Got some snaps in. Matt Eberflus comes in. Frank Wright comes in. They change it to a 4-3, and all of a sudden, he's balling. Anthony Walker has been a great linebacker. We know what Darius Leonard has been. Then you add in a guy like Bobby Okereke, who is like a Darius Leonard. Fast, slim, but strong. Long arms. Athletic. People, you know, in this scheme, especially if Matt Eberflus wants to go more nickel, you can only fit two linebackers on the field. And I'm pretty sure Bobby and Anthony are going to be battling it out right there alongside each other. What is the potential of this linebacker group in 2020? Because you just look at the talent in that room. Darius Leonard, Bobby Okereke, Anthony Walker. Probably the most underrated position group in the NFL today. What is your take on the potential of this group in 2020?
You know, personally, I think that this linebacking group has a ton of potential. You know, Walker is such an underrated player. Honestly, I think that this linebacking core has got to be a top five linebacking core in the NFL. You know, Bobby Okereke was just he was just rated the highest rookie linebacker overall by Pro Football Focus. So he's going to come for Anthony Walker's snaps. You know, Bobby Okereke is going to get better. So I think it's going to drive Anthony Walker to get better, because if Anthony Walker, if he doesn't get better, then Bobby Okereke is just going to be stealing his playing time. So I think that the duo between Leonard and Walker is just going to be lethal, and Bobby Okereke is just going to come in and give you some great snaps. So, I really think this is a top five linebacking core in the NFL.
A couple of more questions for you here. If there is one trade that you see happening with the Colts, who are they trading away is the question. What do you say to that? What is your answer?
Like I said again, it would probably be Jacoby Brissett, or it would probably be a guy like Tyquan Lewis if he doesn't show out. It would have to be Jacoby if we get some good value for him. Tyquan Lewis, if he doesn't show out, I could see Tyquan Lewis getting traded for some draft capital. But those two would probably be the players that I would say would probably get traded.
Where are you in terms of, where this team can go in 2020? What is the ceiling for them in your mind?
Honestly, if Rivers plays well, I think this is a Super Bowl team. I'm not even just saying that like based on bias. Like every team in the AFC is beatable in my opinion. I think the Colts will win the AFC South. I think that the Titans got worse. They traded away Jurrell Casey. I just believe that with all of our moves that we made, like Chris Ballard really like wants to win now. He didn't make all these moves just to be like a wild card team or something like that. Like he didn't make all these moves just to do that. He made all these moves because he wants to win the Super Bowl. And I think the Chiefs right now are the team to beat, but they still have a vulnerable defense. And Baltimore, Lamar Jackson's just got to prove it in the playoffs. But I really think right now we're the third best team in the AFC, and I really think we could win the Super Bowl.
All right, well, you got some big bold predictions there by Anthony. Let's see what happens with these Colts in the future of 2020. That's really it for me. Anything else you want to say, Anthony?
Nope, I just want to say go Colts, and I hope everybody's carrying on through these tough times right now. A lot of stuff's going on, but just believe in God and keep the faith.
Definitely, man. Wise words from a wise man. All right. Well, again, thank you, Anthony, for joining the show, man. Thank you for reaching out, wanting to be a part of the show. I truly appreciate it. Again, happy birthday to you. I hope that your family and yourself are safe and blessed through these times and many more years to come. To you listeners out there, if you haven't already, follow me on Twitter, follow me on YouTube, subscribe, follow Anthony on Twitter. What is your Twitter handle, Anthony?
It's AG splash underscore.
All right, there you go, guys. He is Anthony. I am Michael Terrazas. Thank you again for listening to the Underdog Sports Podcast.